Michael?
Yes. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Michael. I've been saying Michael, Michael. Nothing to it. All right, here we are.
Yes.
Welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion.
And your guest is here too, Jen.
I see that. Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This evening by Brian, who is here to give us the latest on sustainability at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Brian. Oh, shoot. He was here. You there, Brian? Michael, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, and I know he's there. I can see him, huh?
Yes, I can see him there, too. And
I think he's got very fancy technology, if I remember calling in, so let's give him a minute to get it all.
Okay.
It might be something on that end.
Hey, hello?
Oh, there you are. Hey, Brian.
Yay.
Yay.
Yes, I apologize for my reliance on technology, but otherwise I have to rely on AT&T, and it's a very dicey scene here.
It's kind of a toss-up, isn't it? Technology, AT&T. But, you know, it just makes it all the more special when we all get in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
So, what's up in the world of sustainability at the Zen Monastery Peace Center?
Well, I figured I might just start with a little update on the aquaponics garden, which is doing its own little technological things here and there, but the systems are functioning. Sometimes it doesn't want to pump when we think it ought to pump, and sometimes the lights don't want to come on exactly when we think it ought to come on. But boy, do the greens like to grow, and the fishies like to, I guess, do fishy things.
You know what, Brian? I hope our photographer is taking a note of this. We should have a picture of that in the next monastery wall, because it is just beautiful walking past that. It's just packed greens and lettuces and all kinds of things.
Yeah, I definitely made sure to take a few snaps the last time I was up there because I was so excited about it. And then, of course, I made sure to take a few samples, and I found out that mustard greens are called mustard greens because they taste like mustard, which was really nice.
Yep.
And I, for the first time, had cabbage, like fresh cabbage, just plucked it right off of there, and it was so delicious. I was so excited about it.
Yeah. Oh, so much different than, I mean, organic produce is so much different than, like, your average, you know, just regular supermarket stuff. But then growing it yourself takes it to a whole other level.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun because, you know, we get to have our little fishy friends, and we're getting food from their waste. And it's this entire, you know, replicating what goes on in nature, this process of recycling. It's just really, really fascinating.
It really is. So it's such a fabulous model of literally nothing is wasted. I mean, that whole system just sits there on the porch, completely self-contained, doing everything for itself that it needs.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fabulous. The other thing that I've got going on that I'm excited about, although I won't see the results for a while, is actually got some seed to do a winter cover crop on the berms of the food forest. And also on the no-till garden bed that I'm making up the hill. And so it's really fun to me to see an opportunity to take a time that we kind of think of as, you know, as far as growth is concerned, as kind of dead or wasted time, you know. And actually there are plants that are happy to grow during the winter, even in, you know, snow pea gets its name for a reason, I guess. Even when it's very, very cold and there's not a lot of light, they're happy to grow and to enrich the soil and to set us up for a bountiful spring.
Yeah. You know, I was struck by that just today. We were, a few months ago we talked on the Good News Updates about a brand new path that you actually cut the original trail of through the woods, and we were working on it today so that we don't lose it, you know, over the months. And I was struck by, as we were raking away the pine and the leaves, there is so much little tiny growth under there. And just that same thing, wow, in the middle of, I mean, we just got unearthed from a half a foot of snow. And under there is all the stuff ready to grow.
Yep. As far as they're concerned, that snow is water. And it is actually kind of mind-blowing to me to see how the plants respond to the snow and whatnot, because I had a little moment of panic. when I woke up after all of that snow, and I ran up the hill to look at all my little trees and whatnot, and they're just happily, well, you know, they're bent over and
right.
having a little bit of a difficulty that way, but I shook them out, and they unbent themselves and stood right back up, and they're just happy as can be. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting for me because, you know, I project a lot of my experience of the world onto everything else in the world, and so it's weird that these trees are just as happy to sit in 100-degree sunlight and literally be covered in snow, and they're still living and carrying on and doing their things,
yeah.
and doing a lot of work. Like this time of year for trees is a time when they're extending their root systems a lot, so they're not growing up top because they're not getting enough sunlight for it to be worthwhile to put a bunch of energy into making more leaves, but they're growing beneath the soil and they're really doing a lot of work.
Huh, I didn't realize that. So, true, like, winter really is more the time when trees and that sort of thing take root versus that
mm-hmm.
it would make sense in the warmer times when they're leafing out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice and safe below the ground right now. So that's where they put all of their energy that they collect, and then in come spring they have this big root system that's ready to support a big flourishing of foliage.
Yeah. Great. So, what's next?
Well, what's next on my plate is getting the aquaponics technology end sorted out, and, you know, sort of building on what success we're having there, and then getting ready for the spring. I've got some jacarandas, which are
beautiful.
Lovely flowering trees. So hopefully have some of those to plant. I've got some other nitrogen-fixing trees. I'm starting to look at some fruits and whatnot. So really getting ready for the spring. We've been building up the biomass on that hill pretty successfully and had a lot of volunteers, you know, a lot of vetch growing there and whatnot. And the fruit trees seem to have had a much nicer time this year as far as staying moist enough to fruit and to grow and be healthy. And so now we're going to look at really building up the number of trees in that space and hopefully getting to a point where in the come summertime a fair amount of the ground there will be shaded so we don't lose a lot of water to evaporation.
And that we'll end up using far less water in terms of keeping them maintained during those summer months.
Exactly. So the idea is to get as much water as we can stored into the landscape during these wet times that we're having right now so that in the dry times there's a lot more to draw on.
Yeah.
And that comes up in a bunch of different ways. So, you know, with the swales, that's just forcing water into the landscape, but also the topsoil, the big one, is has a bunch of wood buried underneath its berm in sort of a little mini hugel culture setup, which the wood is absorbing water all during the year, and then it releases it to the roots of the plants that are growing near them, and so it's
slowly
passively water.
Yeah.
Passively watering the stuff above. And the up the hill, the no-till bed that we're doing is the same thing. We just put a bunch of wood that was really kind of not in a good place to be as far as like fuel is concerned because it was mushy and it was starting to rot and whatnot, but that's exactly the best type of wood for making a nice passive sponge. And so we did a hugelkultur bed up there, put down an entire layer of this mushy wood that otherwise was going to go to waste, and that's going to increase the fertility of this garden plot for the next 20-30 years. So you know, it's a really fun opportunity to take things we have a lot of that maybe otherwise we wouldn't be using and augment the fertility of the spaces.
Yeah, that's so great. So I'm going to make a commitment to bring you on again early in the new year. I hate to cut you off because I know we got a late start,
mm-hmm.
but I do want to, I know we probably have lots of callers. So thank you so much, Brian, for being on. And
thank you so much
we'll talk
for having
you
me.
The new year.
Alrighty, cheers.
Good night. All right, Michael, thanks for your patience. We'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Brian. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sorry about the delay there.
Well, I actually didn't have a delay. I called in to talk to you, and I was put on the call, and I heard the show would start, and then nothing ever happened. And finally somebody texted me and said, Jen and Brian were talking. So I called in again, and here I am. So I was just having my own little reality over here.
Wow.
Yes, isn't that something? Now, do you hear a static on my line?
I do hear a little bit, yes.
So it's happened both times that I've called in, so it makes me think it might be me. I'm having my own little...
Yes.
That's
are you
better.
Still there?
Yeah, but you know, I think it's annoying, isn't it? I mean, it's enough that it would be nice not to have it there.
And I can still hear you. If you want, we can try it out and see how it goes.
Okay, and maybe I'll try a different headset, Michael. Let me see if I can do that. Are you there?
I am.
That's better, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. You sound great.
Okay. Wonderful. You got any announcements?
I do. There's a great free video workshop with you, Sherry, coming up on January 19th. And it will kick off the theme for our year-long retreat, which is Upping Your Game. And this workshop will get us started.
Yes, it'll be our first foray into upping our game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So please join us for that.
And if I wanted to join you, how would I do it?
That is a great question. I will look at the website during your first call and then get back to you after that.
Okay. Probably going to the website would be a good place to start, huh?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good.
And speaking of upping your game and starting next year, there's a preview of next year's schedule of retreats and events, and that's available at livingcompassion.org.
Right.
And this is our last show of 2013.
Oh, my gosh, Michael. Not already.
Another year.
So we're going to... have a little holiday and then go on retreat, and I guess we'll start back afterwards?
Yes. The next show will be Tuesday, January 7th.
Right.
There's no show on the 24th or the 31st.
All right. We'll just have to listen to archives.
Yes. Of which there are many.
Of which there are many. All right. Well, it's been a great year, so that's
yes,
good.
Yes.
What year did we start doing this, Michael? Do you remember?
I think it was the end of 2002.
Wow. Okay. That's really fun.
My memory is fading.
Yeah. I know that feeling. All right.
And our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. Show ID is 15406, and then you'll enter your PIN followed by pound. We have many friends with us today, so please, one topic in about 5 minutes.
Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Well, how are you?
Hello. I'm very happy to be right here, right now.
Yeah, good. We haven't heard from you for a while. What have you been up to?
Yeah. Well, right at this very second, I'm really struck by, I don't think you got to hear the good news update.
I did not.
But
I was over listening to static on my own little phone line.
I know. But one of the things that I was just so struck by was just the wonderful mystery. I love, because I don't really know a lot about plants and, you know, that sort of you know, how things grow and all of that. And mm-hmm. one of the things that Brian shared that I'm just delighted by was he was talking about how in the winter, the trees are putting all their energy into their root system so that in the spring, when all of that energy goes upward, that they have the support they need.
Aha.
And I just love that.
You know, it's kind of like practice, isn't it?
It's exactly like practice.
Yeah.
It's so exactly like that. That's what I'm so just tickled by.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because you can't always see. What I was thinking when he said that is we're looking at these trees and we can't really see all that they're doing and everything that they're doing to support themselves. And a lot of times, you know, it can feel like that. Like, we're practicing, and a little hard to see, you know, what's deepening and what's, you know, shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And yet then when the time comes and it's there, it's like this wonderful strength that that we've built.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it?
I know. I love that.
Yeah. We kid about that. You know, it's one of those happy, blessed opportunity kinds of things where, you know, something will happen that is definitely not what we had in mind. And what we say is, this is why we practice, right? This is why we've been putting those deeds down, because we don't know what the weather is going to bring. And we want to have that deep support when we need it.
Yeah. And what I love on top of all that is that I was really getting a lot of voices this time when I was just sitting, you know, on the call waiting for the show, because, you know, I have this commitment to just show up. And conditioning was really kind of fiery today. You can't just show up. What, you know, I don't know. It's just like, you know, and these threats, you're not going to have anything to say. And, you know, and then there's Brian and Jen having this absolutely amazing conversation that sparked, you know, something for me. And here I am, right? I'm not left like a deer in the headlights, like conditioning wants me to think.
Right, right. In fact, you didn't have to plan for it at all, did you?
I did
could just
not.
Be right there and receive exactly the wisdom that life was bringing to you in the moment, and see how it applies to your life, our lives, everybody's life. The clarity is there. The wisdom is there. No problem.
I love that so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just complete. And you know what? It's like reinforcing my own root system right now.
Yes. Yes. Because that's exactly what's happening. In fact, you can get a sense of those little devils just heading down there deep, right? Those little tendrils or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Because, I know enough from my history to know that all of that presenting and all of that planning would have kept me. I would have been repeating in my head, like, what my story was. Now, what am I supposed to say? You know, and I would have totally missed that conversation between Brian and Jen.
Yes, yeah, that is such a critical point. Because that's the whole idea, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do, because you're supposed to only have that one story that you go over and over and over, and you're supposed to miss everything else, especially misinformation that says you don't have to plan at all, you can just be present. And wisdom is going to drop in from all sorts of directions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in conditioning's life plan for us.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and so I'm just so tickled every single time that I beat it at this game.
And to prove over and over, to prove to yourself over and over that it really works.
Mm-hmm.
Really works. You could just absolutely be present with that thought in your head, and all that brilliance is there and available. and it's yours because you're open to it.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
yeah.
Sister.
Yes.
That's a good deal. Good deal.
So I'm going to let some other callers get on because I'm just tickled. It was an awesome little mini retreat just now.
Good, good. Well, thank you, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Be special. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back to talk to more callers.
Right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Zoe.
Well, hello, Zoe.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I called for a couple of reasons.
Uh-huh.
One is that I've been in the dark room and I'm determined to, you know, get back into the light room and to practice. And the other reason was I just listened to the last Learning to Love Learning radio show. And it was so nice to listen to that today. And, there was something else, too, and I can't remember it right now, but that's basically why I'm calling.
All right. Well, tell us about... Oh, you thought of it?
I remembered it, yes. I'm not going to feel bad about feeling bad.
No. That would
because
that would be a waste of time, wouldn't it?
It would just compound the problem.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You got the wheels in the ditch, and then you start spinning them. It's not helpful. Yeah.
And it's so I saw that place of like, you know, I saw that moment, you know, where it was like that was like conditioning's pull is like, oh well, you know, you're supposed to feel bad now about feeling bad because that's the wrong way to be. And, you know, and obviously that, you know, like that's why, you know, like that's the proof that I'm a failure is because I felt bad. And I'm like, no, that's not.
No.
That's life. And
no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. So that's where
yeah.
I'm at.
Yeah. So the expression, it goes something like, we can't transcend what we haven't encountered.
Yeah. I just heard that recently.
Yeah, so that's such an important one to remember. I was looking at something recently, and I thought, you know, I really wish I hadn't, whatever it was, hadn't said that or done that or mm-hmm. whatever it was, you know, because it just didn't go anywhere that I would hope that it would go. And I thought, well, now that's silly, because if I hadn't, then I wouldn't be here in this awareness right now. This is a very
mm-hmm.
important awareness to be having. So actually, that slipped in. I was wrong about that. I'm actually very glad that it went that way so that I could get to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. you were in the dark room. Tell us about the dark room. The dark and ugly.
Yeah. You know, just, well, what I was experiencing was, like, this disbelief that I could, like, behave in these ways, you know, that were just, like, how could, you know, I know how important practice is, and I know, you know, like, wow, like, I, wow, just really, like, I don't know, you know, it was very, like, I don't know how I got there exactly, and, you know, it was probably a number of things.
Wait, just a second. So you were actually indulging, shall we say, behaviors that were kind of anti your heart. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that and uh-huh. not practicing, just
uh-huh.
not at all
uh-huh.
for I don't even know how long. I was like,
but aware of it, right?
There was a point where I feel like I came to, but yeah, like during it was like this. Yeah, I don't know. It was like I was aware of it, but I wasn't.
Yeah, you're taken over by the body snatchers. Yeah. And it's, again, it's really helpful to see, isn't it? It's really sobering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to feel bad about, but really to get, this is not, you know, this is not a small thing that we're messing around with here.
Yeah.
Because this system, this survival system, has the ability to come in and render us unconscious for periods of time. During those periods of unconsciousness, we act out in ways that are definitely not in our best interest. And then, once we come to, we're meant to feel bad and guilty
mm-hmm.
and sink
mm-hmm.
right back down into that hole again. So seeing all of that, what it does for me anyway, what it does for me is inspire me never to want to be away from practice for long enough that can happen to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if I'm doing
something. Yeah, it's an ugly place.
Yeah, if I'm doing something with practice every day. Somebody was just talking about that. Maybe it was on that Thursday night show about having open air on Tuesday, and then there's a reflective listening call, and then there's a Thursday night show, and then there's the coach, and then there, you know, and she, I think it was she, had it lined up so that there was something every day that brought her to a state of conscious awareness, right? Because otherwise, once we're put to sleep, we can be asleep for a long time and have no idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and I liked that idea. I'm like, oh, I should have the things on different days, you know, more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I don't, yeah, yeah, have them, like, maybe spread it out more and, you know.
Yeah,
but
just so that if we do get fooled into falling asleep, there we up our chances of waking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's going mm-hmm. to be somebody there mirroring us in such a way. I was talking with somebody about that recently, about that when we're in that kind of that takeover has happened, right? We're deeply hypnotized and we're sound asleep, and we're going about. And we don't know it. Maybe other people are suspicious of it, but we don't know it. We don't have any clues about it. That the only thing that we can, or one of the best things, I won't say the only thing, but one of the best things that we can do is start to catch on to the kinds of behaviors that we do
mm-hmm.
when we're hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
And record about that until they become reminders, or they, you know, they kind of alarm clocks to wake us
mm-hmm.
up, because wow, I'm doing that thing, and that thing is something I do when I've been taken over. That must mean I've been taken over. So
mm-hmm.
you know, and you grab your recorder.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, because it's really skilled. That survival system is skilled at what it does. And we're just trying to catch on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're back now.
Thank you.
Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
And just in time for the holidays. Yeah. Try not to go under again, okay?
I know. I feel like this time of year, yeah. Well, I will. I will. I'm motivated. You know, I'm trying to use all of that darkness as motivation and, you know, just immediately just, you know, grab on to practice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, you've just come through a cold or a flu or something, and you know your immune system is now really strong because your body's been fighting this illness. So that's time to really, a la the sustainability corner earlier, that's the time to really feed the roots, you know, add support and sustenance to the support system. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Talk to you in the new year.
All right.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Barbara, and I'm calling from Vermont.
Well, hello, Barbara. Are you new to our calling in?
This is my first call, and I'm just barely getting all the way through.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
We're delighted to have you. What's going on? Congratulations.
Well, you know, making this call has been just like a long process. With a million things showing up, of course. And I really just wanted to get to the other side of it.
Good for you.
Just
do it and get it over with.
Yeah, but it's taken me 2 months of,
That's not bad. That's not bad, actually. I think we could, you know, if we were all in a room together, we could get a show of hands from people that it took a lot longer than 2 months. So that's very good.
I'm so happy that I did it. And then, of course, I see that as a problem because my feeling good is attached to this having done this.
Well, now, why is that a problem?
Because... Well, at some part, I don't think it's a problem at all. I feel good about it. I want to feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I see my feeling good is frequently conditional.
Mm-hmm.
And one big example for me right now has got to do with a relationship with my mother. And when she's good, I'm good. I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's bad, I feel pulled in and like, you know, she's trying to ruin my life.
Mm-hmm. So as you know, we talk about that as identified and disidentified.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing about it is that, you know, we are moving toward the feeling good part, and what we're dropping is the feeling bad. Because life is a process actually of feeling good, and karmic conditioning is a process of feeling bad. And of course, that doesn't mean that when things are difficult, we can be sad, we can be upset, we can be angry, we can be any of the human emotions, and we can be present to those and that sort of thing. And we can feel good throughout the whole thing, right? It's the feeling bad of karmic conditioning, where there's actually nothing going on except a story that it's putting forth that's designed to make us feel bad. So, you know, you do something, you have a success, and you feel good. Now, to me, that's not so much conditional as training.
So
that's
you're
not
training.
Just a story about feeling good or doing something good. It's not like the same as the
no.
story about doing something bad.
Nope. And so it's like training wheels. So
yeah.
you do something that is in alignment with your heart, with
uh-huh.
your authentic nature, and
yeah.
that feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not the same. That's not conditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what we're in training to do is live in alignment with our hearts, with our authentic nature, and then everything feels good because the simplest way of putting it is it feels good to be alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I when I decided that I wanted to make this call, it was very much coming from my heart. That I wanted
yeah.
to, you know, bring myself into this community, bring my voice in, and
mm-hmm.
even though I was afraid to do it, I just, you know, it's like it feels like my heart won.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you get to feel good about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the thing with your mother, I mean, come on, that you know that's the hardest place anybody's ever going to practice, right?
Yeah.
It, you know, again, that's something that we just kid about so much around here is that, you know, everybody trains all year long and they're great, they're strong, they're centered,
mm-hmm.
they're focused, and they go, in quotes, home for
uh-huh.
the holidays and they become 4 years old and tantruming and miserable and,
uh-huh.
yeah. So
yeah.
we just expect that. So,
yeah,
yeah you're going to be happy when she's in a good place and she feels
uh-huh.
good and yeah and when she's not it's going to trigger every single thing that's happened to you since you arrived on this planet and what we learn to do is feel great sympathy for the person who had those experiences and is having those reactions. We don't identify with that person, but we feel compassion and sympathy for that person and we
yeah.
go on, you know, taking one step after the other along the path of waking up and ending suffering.
Mm. Yes, I'm in. Thank you.
Yeah, we're just practicing. That's
mm-hmm.
all. So those
yeah.
voices, you know, that constantly want to make it this or that or something else, we just learn to say, yeah, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that so? Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I'm just breathing over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm here. I really appreciate
yeah.
this
yeah,
connection.
Too.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we will definitely be talking in the new year.
Yes, and I did it in 2013, so this feels really especially good. I can feel good about a lot of it. So
oh,
I will.
Yeah, let's just feel good about all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck? Yeah.
What the heck? Thank you so much,
okay.
Jerry.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. You're listening to Open Air.
Michael.
Yes?
We have had a lot of first-time callers in the last
yes,
little
we
while.
Have.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I think we had two last week, didn't we?
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
I love it. People are getting in there in 2013. That's good.
We're very blessed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are. All right. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You're going to say something.
No problem. I'm going to say let's talk to another caller.
Good. Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. I'm Gabriel from New Jersey.
Hi, Gabriel. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
It's been a while. What have you been up to?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Not much. I feel like I could tag along with the last caller there, but I guess I would word it in my own way. And I wanted to ask you about it. I feel like part of me has developed a sort of like addiction to teachers,
uh-huh.
spiritual teachers.
Uh-huh.
I love, like, the tone of their voice. I mean, what I project, like, and what I imagine their lives are like. And I just want to hang out with them, and I want to have more of them around me, and I want, you know, people who have done a lot of spiritual work and all that kind of stuff, and that's not, it doesn't seem to be my actual reality. And that bugs me a lot. Like, I want my, for example, my parents to be more like my spiritual teachers that I listen to, and bosses and friends and, you know, colleagues, everything.
Can I ask you the obvious question? Have you considered that you would be the great candidate to be more like the spiritual teachers?
Well, yes, and I feel that I do my best to do that, and I consider myself one of those people that I want to be, that I would like more of in my life. But a lot of times I feel like, I mean, there would be no other reason for me to call in if I didn't feel like this support and would feel nice. I guess I have a desire for not having to call in on Tuesday night to speak to somebody that I deem as or project is savvy and wise and understanding and compassionate and has done the work and that kind of stuff.
Okay. All right.
It bugs me a lot.
I was right with you until that little ego expose. Okay?
Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
Yeah. So, first of all, you've been doing this long enough to know that you're projecting.
Yeah.
Right? So you project all of the best of you. My fingers are making the little marks in the air. You project all the best of you onto spiritual teachers and all the worst of you onto everybody else.
Yeah. So going deeper then, that's what's bugging me because I've been doing that for a while.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's exactly what I've been doing.
Yeah. So if you own all of those projections, you'll start having a deeper sense of your work. Your work. And as you have a deeper sense of your work and really begin doing your work, not wanting to look to somebody else to simultaneously feel good and feel inferior, and then on the other side, projecting out and feeling bad and feeling superior, okay, as you begin to do that work, then I project that what you call spiritual teachers will simply be other people who are doing their work as you are doing your work. And in the way that if we are, if we're quitting drinking alcohol, we like to go to meetings with other people who are doing that. If we're learning to play soccer, we like to go to places and practice playing soccer with other people who are doing that. As people who are doing spiritual work, we enjoy being in the presence of other people who are consciously doing spiritual work. So I would say we are all doing spiritual work. Your parents, your friends, your bosses, your colleagues, we're all on a spiritual path. There are just some of us who approach it in a very upfront, verbal sort of a way, and others who don't.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it is, and I'll have to listen to this again and slow down for me, like within my listening, because I'm trying to get it all at once. So when you say doing the work, you don't just mean the spiritual work.
Well, for me, everything is spiritual work. So it's, you know, what we're doing is a practice that enables us to wake up and end suffering. So around here, we have this line that we use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. to see how our suffering happens. So we can drop that and end suffering. So in that sense, there's not a moment of our lives that isn't a practice moment. Because in every moment, it's either leading me, what I'm focusing on is leading me toward suffering or away from suffering.
Wow. This is the first time that I'm becoming aware of an inner force that is just not letting me listen to a word you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good thing. That's a very, very good thing. That's the same force that wants to keep you in a about having to seek out spiritual teachers and that whole thing that you started out with. That's the same force.
Yeah.
It's how it protects itself. And it's how it maintains control of a person's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to see it, good to recognize it for what it is, and that's the work that we're doing. We're starting then to dismantle that.
Right. So my relationship with that is not one of, oh, you stupid thing, stop controlling my life. It's more one of,
well, if that kind of reaction would
mm-hmm.
be it talking to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because ego talks to ego all the time. And we think
mm-hmm.
it's us talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, that's why this is awareness practice.
Yeah.
We just pay attention. We just notice and we see how it all works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a doctor.
Pardon me?
Kind of like a scientist or a doctor or something like that.
Exactly so. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because
my favorite thing.
Yeah, what we're doing is realizing that we don't know. That everything we think we know, something that's put together in conditioned mind, and what we're trying to do is get through all of that, drop all of that, so that we can just be present to the wisdom that's animating us.
Right. Great. Okay.
Good.
I will listen to this again, and I will call you in the new year.
All right. I'll look forward to it. Take care.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Gabriel. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm going to start again with the deer in the headlights. As soon as that voice comes on, you are unmuted. Everything that I've been preparing to kind of look at and with you just disappears.
Uh-huh. So, do you remember any of the subjects?
Yeah, well, conditioning. and the different forms that it takes.
Uh-huh.
And kind of like willingness and unwillingness to kind of actually practice, and
uh-huh.
how it can be like, you know, 4 or 5 days in a row of just this nagging story going on, and then turning a corner and like catching the snow at a different glance, and there's no story.
Uh-huh. So it just kind of goes away magically. It's not anything that you're doing.
Yes and no. Because, the story's real. I'm losing my health. You know, it's like the economy just sucks. You know, none of my jobs are secure. All that's, real. And then on the other side, I just show up to my work and it's just step by step by step. And by the end of the day, it feels good. And I've got happy clients and, work is secure and money comes in.
And so why is that real then? Are you saying that, are your fingers in the air making little marks when you say that?
Well.
Because you just kind of talked yourself around to it's actually not real.
I remember kind of a Zen story about, it's like a monk talking to a farmer and just about the difference between having like a spiritual practice out in the world where you have to, be in a world of give and take and money and exchange, pay for your bills, go out and make money. And kind of like my work has been set up as working meditation, so my work is actually my greatest practice. So they're both true. When I approach my work as practice, it works. When I approach my work as I got to succeed, I got to take care of myself, there's nobody to depend on, then, it's just not any fun.
It's not as much fun?
It's just not as much fun.
Yeah.
And I do both.
Yeah. And now the part of the real thing that's so interesting is everyone's losing their health. That point gets made.
Yes.
That the moment we're born, we begin to lose our health.
Yes.
And so there's that.
Yes. And not special.
Yeah. None of us is, and we all are.
Yes.
And so to live in a this is real, it is an identified place, right? It's real to ego.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when we're identified with the illusion of an ego that is separate from life, then everything that is real to the ego is labeled real.
Yes. And the more serious it is, the easier it is for me to believe that it's real.
Yeah, and yet it's an illusion. The whole world is an illusion. That whole ego world is an illusion. It's all made up. We make it up that life is supposed to be a certain way, that we should have certain experiences, that it's wrong that that people get sick or that people die or that people don't have what they want or there's always something that ego wants to be other than life is, and that's what's wrong. And yet it's not written down anywhere that life is supposed to be anything other than what it is.
Ha, yes. Yes.
Yeah, nobody ever said that. Not one. It didn't come down on the tablets. And were there more than one tablet? Well, I never
two
know
tablets,
if tablet is plural or singular, but, the one that came down. Nobody has said anything about it since then. Right? The Buddha didn't say
yeah.
it. Jesus didn't say it. Those are my favorites, you know.
Yeah.
Right,
Gandhi didn't say it. C.S. Lewis didn't
yeah.
say it.
Yeah. No. Nobody has said, well, yeah, there is the way the world is supposed to be, which is you get everything you want. And if it doesn't go that way, then there's been some sort of mistake, and you really ought to take it up with customer service.
You just didn't believe hard enough. You didn't have enough faith.
That's right. You didn't ask nicely enough. God was in a bad mood on the day that you asked.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the story of the tigers chasing me over the cliff and hanging by the rope, and the two mice chewing on the rope and looking over and seeing a strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of getting it that, you know, that's just what life is. We that's everybody's doing that. You know, at certain points you're kind of just walking along, not aware of the tigers and the rope and the mice, but that's still kind of what's happening.
That's right. They're still there, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, and then kind of just seeing that, you know, it's like there's that frantic running, and when you're running, you're probably not really noticing a lot of strawberries or, you know,
that's right.
rainbows or anything very delightful.
That's right.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we call it the dark room.
Yeah. And for me, it kind of manifests in just the difficulty in getting along with people is kind of part of my egoic pattern. The last caller was talking about wanting to be surrounded by Sangha and how delightful that is and what a jewel it is. And when I'm in that space, I find that in the cashier at the store. When I'm kind of in my conditioned state,
right.
the cashier is just the slowest, stupidest thing going.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it has nothing to do with the cashier.
Exactly. Yeah. And that ego perspective is always that, again, it's a system created to get the ego at the front and center of life so that it gets all the attention and all the energy. So mm-hmm. it's constantly mm-hmm. angling for what's wrong, what's missing. That's its whole, if people just listen for a little tiny while to what the conversation in the head, that's what it's about. It's about what's wrong and what's missing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and what's wrong with me and how I, you know, I can't have it. It's everybody else can have it, but I can't.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, if everybody who is living in that story raised their hand at the same time, it would be, you know, one of those waves like at the football game or what, right? Because it's just about every human being on the planet living in that story, because that's the fundamental make ego the center of the world story. And of course, the sadness is that just about everybody misses their beautiful life in a story
yeah.
about imaginary stuff that's wrong. So you're losing your health. Okay.
Yeah.
And you could, in theory, just a possibility, you could be living in the moment, delightfully, deliciously, deliriously happy, just going about ecstatic, just, you know, just moonbeams dancing off of your person and get run over by a truck.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But,
yes.
That story doesn't feed ego.
No, because
no.
when I was young and healthy and, you know.
You had another story.
I had another story, and I didn't enjoy that either.
That's exactly right. So whatever's going on, it turns it into a real story that's going to suck the joy out of life.
Yes.
Yeah, and
with
so joy. If we can catch on that's all that's going on, it's just an ongoing process of whatever miserable story you will give your attention to.
And
as you say, if you look back over your life, there's always been some misery that needed to be tended to that was real.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Oh, we don't have to do that.
So here right now. Thank
yeah,
you.
It's not. It's not a requirement. So that's
right.
Good.
I could spend
so,
the rest of my life in conditioning, and I'll just get another chance to do it again.
Yeah. Well, somebody
Maybe.
Will. Somebody will get
yeah.
a bunch of crappy karma that you didn't clean up while you had the chance. But the thing about it is, you know, we were talking with a little bit ago about, I guess with Zoe about arranging things so that there's always something to bring you back so you don't go to sleep for long periods of time. And, of
yes.
course, recording and listening is the
yes.
very, very best thing to get us out of that story.
Yes.
And all it doesn't have to be any more complex than a very slow recitation of every happy word in the English language.
Hmm.
That's it. Doesn't have to be anything more sophisticated or complex than that. Loving kindness.
Loving kindness
goodness,
in every happy word in the English
sweetness,
language.
Caring. Sharing, patience, adoration, reverence,
gratitude,
respect, gratitude,
willingness,
yeah. And when you get to the end and you can't think of any more, start over. Provides a very happy, very real life.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Take care. Talk to you in 2014.
Arigato.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. Well, Sherry, that was just the best assignment and the best way to end a great year.
You know, I think you're right.
Yes, I'm going to do that assignment right now.
All right. Very good. Me too.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. I'll talk to you in the new year.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.